Hello and welcome to this week's Mooney on Politics podcast. I'm recording it on Tuesday, June the 22nd. It's a little after 2 o'clock. I'm back onto a fairly decent schedule. I try and record these on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and though for the last 2 or 3 weeks, unfortunately, I've missed that. So hopefully from here on in, we'll be back on target. As you might have heard in a previous podcast, I've recently rekindled my love affair with the word paradox. So you can expect to see it pop up a few times, including in this week's podcast, which, of course, as usual, is a recital of my broadsheet column. Because this week I'm looking at the paradox of Fianna Fáil's poll ratings remaining stubbornly low while the approval ratings of the Fianna Fáil leader are moving upwards. And I ask the question, has the Taoiseach learned how to disassociate himself from his party? And doesn't this essentially mean that the things that are in his interests are no longer in his party's interests and vice versa? So here we go. Though I probably keep this fact well hidden from readers, I really try not to write too much about polling. And now I say this through clenched teeth at the moment because I know it must seem like I've written about little else over the past few weeks and months. It's a fairly fair criticism of Irish political punditry to say that too much is written about polling in the guise of political analysis. Now, the soap opera aspects of politics, who's in, who's out, who's politically in bed with whom, who's up, who's down, and all the rest of it, do help liven up what can often be a dull area. But political punditry should focus on policies, decisions, and the real stuff, the real meat and potatoes of politics. You see, the old Heisenberg uncertainty indeterminately principle from your Lebensherr applies to politics as much as it does to physics. If you cannot accurately measure both the position and velocity of an object simultaneously, then you should focus more on the trajectory, that is the trajectory of the object or indeed of the political idea, than just analysing snapshots of where it was a few days, weeks or months ago. But all of this is a very long way of me explaining, so excusing, why I'm once again talking about polling. In my defence, I do this because there is something worth discussing based from the last two opinion polls. Last Sunday's Ireland Thinks Irish Mail on Sunday poll, and the previous Wednesday's Irish Times Ipsos MRBI poll, because they offer a slightly contradictory result in one area. It's a key area. But before I turn to that very, very important key contradiction, I want to deal quickly with the areas in which they agree. Both polls show that the three main parties are in the same relative order. Both show Sinn Féin out in first place, Fine Gael in second place, followed by Fianna Fáil a good bit behind in third place. It's the spread on which they disagree. So while the Irish Times thinks that the three main parties have an 11% spread between them, with Fine Gael in the middle, 4 points behind Sinn Féin and 7 points ahead of Fianna Fáil, the Irish Mail on Sunday reckons that their spread is much wider. It's 17 points. So they have Fine Gael 8 points behind Sinn Féin and 9 points ahead of Fianna Fáil. By the way, the two polls are almost identical in terms of Sinn Féin's dominance, with the Mail on Sunday putting Sinn Féin on 32% and the Irish Times putting it on 31%. So that's where they're absolute agreement. So where they disagree is the degree to which Fianna Fáil is out of the game. The Irish Times says it's 11 points off the lead. The Mail on Sunday says 17 points. Now, in the greater schemes of things, this is not a major point of contradiction. Unless you are really worried about the prospect of a decade of vapid, binary, polarised Fine Gael versus Sinn Féin politics and care about the prospects of a once great progressive and centrist party. Now, I might no longer be a member of that party, but I do actually care about what happens, and I do care about the prospect of having the kind of binary Fine Gael versus Sinn Féin politics for a decade or more. So this begs the question, why was the Martinite faction of the Fianna Fáil popping champagne corks and putting out the bunting when the Irish Times polls results came out? Were they really that happy at the prospect of being third in a three-horse race? Because whether your horse comes in 11 minutes or 17 minutes after the winner doesn't change the fact that you're in third place and that you're double digits off the pace. So you've come from coming a poor second in the last election to now coming consistently third. Has the Martin leadership so dulled and becalmed the political sensibilities of the Fianna Fáil party that coming third by less than another polls is an achievement to be celebrated? To be fair to the Martinites, they can point to the Irish Times saying that Fianna Fáil has regained a chunk of support that Martin had lost for the party by going so easily into government with Fine Gael this time last year. But their joy at this Pyrrhic win has been dulled by the Mail on Sunday poll, which says they haven't regained ground at all. So which one is it? I think we're going to have to wait until the Red Sea Sunday Business Post poll next Sunday to throw some light on this issue. But there again, that mightn't. Biden do that. So I think it's going to be another 2 or 3 months before we see, has this settled? Is this real? Now, for the record, my own view is that Fianna Fáil is not as low as 15%. It's quite possible on 16, 17 or 18% nationally. But even if it is, the party has still lost support across the country, but most especially in Dublin. And I sincerely feel that one more year of directionless government and directionless leadership will see a drop back further and to becoming irrelevant. Even the more optimistic Irish Times poll results finds that Fianna Fáil is in fifth place in the capital amongst voters aged under 35. The Irish Times poll says that when you look at this cohort, voters under 35 in Dublin, Fianna Fáil is 30 points behind Sinn Féin. Almost 30, it's actually 29. Think about that again. In the capital, Fianna Fáil is 30 percentage points behind Sinn Féin. It's 13 behind Fine Gael, and extraordinarily, it's 9 points behind the Green Party. That's a stunning number, and it's one that should absolutely strike terror into every Fianna Fáil member. Because anyone in Fianna Fáil who is elated by a poll featuring that result either doesn't understand politics or is so exclusively focused on securing their personal position or pensions. To their immense credit, there are many Fianna Fáil veterans who do see the warning signs, but the misfortune for the party is none of them are positions of authority, having been meticulously marginalised by the leadership over the last 18 months, 2 years. Now, speaking of leadership, there is a point in which most of the recent polls, not just the two I've mentioned, have been united, and that's the increasing personal popularity of the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. The fact that his improved personal performance ratings are not converting into increased support for the party, however, isn't really a new phenomenon. Research here, but more especially in the UK, shows that a party leader's approval ratings tend to fluctuate far more dramatically than the party's vote share. So you can have a leader going up and down by 11, 12, 13 points and the party only moving by 2 or 3 points. So there's nothing desperately unusual with that. So what accounts for it? How do you explain this gap? Well, from my point of view, the gap between his personal approval rating and his party's approval rating may be due to potential Fine Gael voters or people who have voted Fine Gael in the past and thinking of voting Fine Gael in the future, looking at Micheál Martin and Taoiseach as Taoiseach and thinking, yeah, he's doing a decent job. He's leading a government that pursues the kind of minimalist Fine Gael type approach that I like. These same voters could well perceive Micheál Martin as impartial, non-partisan, even as politically non-threatening. But none of them feel this liking of him to such a degree that they would ever dare consider voting for his party. Now, conversely, there are former potential Fianna Fáil voters who look at him and say, yeah, Fine Gael's happy with you. That's why we're not happy with you. And that's why we won't support your party. Martin's personal popularity does suggest that he has been particularly adept at disassociating himself from the party he leads. Now, even as I say that, I know it's an unfair characterisation, though it's an accusation that may have occurred to the Fianna Fáil leader himself. He has been more than assiduous, indeed far more assiduous than other party leaders, in getting out canvassing in the by-election. He's been to the fore in identifying himself clearly with his candidate, Councillor Deirdre Conroy, in party videos and while out on canvassing on the streets of Dublin Bay South. Now, I don't think it's because he thinks Fianna Fáil can win the by-election. Indeed, he's as good as admitted that from the start. But he knows his position will be in trouble unless he can move Fianna Fáil out of the doldrums of perpetual third place in the opinion polls. Now, nobody really thinks a third place showing in Dublin Bay South is on the cards. If it was, it would be an absolute godsend for Martin. As I have discussed in a previous podcast, the Dublin Bay South race is broadly going the way that both Fine Gael and Sinn Féin had hoped. Well, kind of. You see, this was Fine Gael's seat to lose, and right now they're on the cusp of just doing that. Because Sinn Féin could potentially, now it's not there yet, but Sinn Féin could potentially snatch a seat that would never have appeared in a list of Sinn Féin top 100 winnable seats a couple of weeks ago. Because, you see, Fine Gael's preferred candidate, James Gagan, is going to need every transfer he can get hold of to hold on to this most bankable of seats. That's difficult because his former The former Fine Gael TD in this area, Kate O'Connell, who lost the seat last year by a very, very narrow margin, sitting at the sidelines. But she probably wouldn't have faced the same difficulty. She probably would have found it easier to get a higher first preference vote and to pick up the transfers. But unfortunately, she has to content herself with standing outside, with working behind the counter of a Ratgar pharmacy, except for when she's getting photographs taken with the Fianna Fáil leader who's out canvassing there. What's interesting is that the content, and more importantly, the tone of Leo Varadkar's Fine Gael RDS speech tends to hint of a leader who is deeply worried about his party's declining poll numbers and sees a real prospect of losing Dublin Bay South. Don't forget, it's only, 16 or 17 months since the voters told Leo Varadkar in the election of 2020 that his party had not done enough to tackle the housing crisis. So will those same voters who told him to get lost last year be persuaded by his announcement of that he wants 40,000 new homes per year? I think it's unlikely, especially when the Sunday newspapers were telling voters last weekend that it could be 2025 before the government meets its existing commitment to build 33,000 homes per year. Now, one thing that would have helped, however, is Leo Varadkar's explanation on the week in politics why his comments on unity were not out of order. That may have helped him steer some Fianna Fáil transfers back to his way in Dublin Bay South, particularly from core hardline traditional Fianna Fáil voters. Now, if only Varadkar could get his candidate, Geoghegan, to stop driving these Fianna Fáil voters away every time he goes on Zoom and attacking Fianna Fáil as being the cause of all the woes in the city. One final point on the Fine Gael Ardèche. Maybe it's just me, but I thought it was unusual to see the Fine Gael leader get 45 minutes of live TV coverage on a Saturday afternoon or evening during a by-election. Will RTE find some way to ensure that the leaders of Sinn Féin, Labour, Greens, Fianna Fáil, Social Democrats, Independents and others get similar coverage during the by-election? We shall see. Talking of Ardèche, the word is that Fianna Fáil is planning to hold its Ardèche in mid-October, but that it's going to be a virtual affair just like Fine Gael's. I have to say, this seems like a very odd decision to take this far out. In fact, it's not just odd, it's ominous. Because either this points to senior Fianna Fáil figures believing that there will be COVID restrictions on large gatherings at that point, even when everyone is vaccinated and society has reopened. Or it means that the current leadership is less than enthusiastic about having its activists meeting up face to face to discuss how the party is doing. Either way, this announcement will anger an already irate hospitality sector who will see this move as a significant vote of no confidence in the future. Surely it was not beyond the wit and the capability of the small core of officials who run the party to either delay the Ardèche until early 2022 or come up with a hybrid model where members could meet regionally in groups of maybe 500 or 1,000, with the big speeches streamed from the various locations and the leader's speech beamed into all of these from one central location. I would be surprised if the Fianna Fáil leadership is not forced to revisit this decision sooner rather than later. Indeed, after all, who knows what could happen between now and October. Anyway, that's this week's Mooney and Politics podcast. Next week's might be looking at the issues of travelling. I have to head to Spain to visit family over the weekend. So on Monday in broadsheet, I'll report on the complexities or otherwise of travelling from Ireland to Spain. Now, by the way, I'm fully vaccinated. I've had my two shots and I've organised to have PCR tests here and in Spain on the way back. So I'll be reporting on that, and I'll hopefully talk to you next Tuesday or next Wednesday. So in the meantime, enjoy the great weather and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.